Good morning, everybody. This morning is Stanley's last Sunday with us. We're going to talk about personal witness. Okay? Personal witness. Now, does anybody know what I mean by that? Anybody under the age of 19, that is? I know you all. Yes, Stanley.
By yourself instead of a group of people.
Okay, yeah. On sort of individual basis. And how do we do that? What are the basics of personal witness? I should say that one of the reasons I wanted to do this morning is because, praise God, we have a growing little group of Christians here amongst us. Okay, so we're cautious about these things because we understand that we have a bit of a watching brief. But a number of our young people are born again, and this is great news. And we don't see them as a fifth column. Does anybody know what a fifth column is? We're not asking them to go behind enemy lines and do things that we wouldn't do, okay? But nonetheless, we are called to tell this great news about the Lord Jesus Christ in both what we say to people and in the way that we live our lives, okay? So, we're talking about personal witness. Now, how might you pick this up? How might you get the basics of what you should be saying to people and how you might go about this? Am I asking very difficult questions this morning? Have I got this all wrong? Yes, Stanley.
In the Bible?
The Bible is a good place to go, isn't it? Yes. Well, one. Yes, Stanley. Yes, very good. I'm impressed this morning. Thank you. What about, especially on a Sunday morning at this church, but it could be at any time, when we hear evangelistic sermons, gospel sermons, sermons that are, you know, designed specifically to go to the heart of the unconverted, and you'll hear the preachers say certain things about repentance and faith and stuff. And these are the core truths of the Christian message. So well, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about basic truth. Okay, now, just before we get into the hows and what have you, there are certain qualities that might be helpful in this whole business about personal witness. Now, this may all sound totally beyond you. Hang on a second, I'm not doing this. This is way too difficult. Life's hard enough already. Why would I make it even more difficult for myself? Well, I'm not, as I say, I'll sort of just qualify everything I'm going to say in a minute. I'm not trying to make life too difficult. But there are some personal qualities that are useful in this, okay? And we can get these personal qualities by praying, okay? By praying for perseverance and patience, because it's a tough business telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ with, you know, perhaps a response that might be less than favourable. We want to have a sort of zeal about us, that a commitment and a sort of commitment to this duty, that we've got this great news. It's like having a cure for cancer or something. And we don't want to keep it to ourselves. So we're going to share it with other people. And so we've got that sort of inner commitment and resilience to doing it. We can pray for the opportunities to share the gospel. And, you know, that's a good sort of good starting point, a good attitude to have, if you like. So there you are, going about your business, and the way you're conducting your life is supporting what you might say to people. And what I'm suggesting is that you stick to basic truth, okay? So you don't have to sort of start unpacking Ezekiel or anything like that. The clear truths that God is a holy God, you know, far above all others. We can't even enter into his presence, and we're born as sinners. We heard in Psalm 51 there a moment ago, my mother conceived me in sin. We're born as sinners. You don't have to teach young children to do wrong. They do wrong. You have to teach them how to do right. And there we are, far from God. We're his enemies. Okay. And we're in this sort of seemingly intractable situation. Got this great big problem. And into that, in his great love, God sent his son, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this sin-sick world to and he became a human being. He was still fully God. He became a man. And here he was, Jesus of Nazareth, lived there in Palestine 2,000 years ago, and he kept the law, every single part of the law, in a way that none of us have been able to, and he took our punishment on the cross. And we know it's true what he said, because 3 days later, he came back to life. Okay, now, we all know these truths, and many of us experience the power and truth of them in our own lives. And so you can share your own experience, what you've seen and heard and read and experienced for yourself. So basic truth, your own experience, your personal testimony, and of course, invite people to gospel services. Bring people along to hear the message, because the preacher has the privilege and the advantage that he can say things that you can't say to an individual. Because when a preacher stands up there, he can say quite pointed things because he's not saying it to any one individual. And if you say that to an individual, you know, you're a sinner, you might get a punch on the nose. Okay? So you've got to be careful, and there is a time and a place, and that is the divine genius of gospel preaching, of course. So that's what we're talking about. You might be tempted to think, well, I've got to prove the existence of God. You're off to university, a hotbed of know-alls, right? And everybody's going to be there, and there's no such thing as God, right? And all the rest of it. You don't have to do that, because Romans 1 tells us that people have deep down, in their heart of hearts, every single person on the planet, it might be quashed down, it might be ignored, but people know about the existence of God. That's the reality of it. And so if an atheist or somebody who's professing to be an atheist or somebody sort of says, well, I don't even believe there's a God, you know, I don't even buy your starting point, your basic premises. You don't have to prove the existence of God. Just give them those basic truths and you'll hit the raw nerve. Okay, and you just always bring it back to the gospel and don't go down those sidelines. Just one other thing I'd like to say on that particular, on the sort of the hows and wherefores, is that there's a verse in the Bible which says that all truth is, spiritual truth is spiritually discerned. Okay, and I think you can overplay that and sort of come to the conclusion that people are sort of lumps of wood. And that until the Holy Spirit, regenerates them and changes them, there's not really much point in me witnessing to them. Okay? Well, it is true that we do need the Holy Spirit to quicken the word to people's hearts. Absolutely, that is true. But of course, as I say, people do know about the existence of God. And we are called to persuade people and to share truth with them. We are called to play a part. God does have means, and we are the means to spread the gospel. So we're part of an exciting plan. We are on the King's business, and I would commend that to you. And we all go up and down in our zeal and our courage. It's another quality that we need, and our energy in this. But it's important. And, I'm sure my friends here this morning would say that sometimes we have some zeal and we take the opportunities and sometimes we fail miserably. But that's what we are called to do. There's just one other thing I'd like to say on this morning, which is that there was a Puritan writer called Charles Bridges, and we may have one of his books either here or in the library over there, and he wrote a very, very well-known Christian book called The Christian Ministry, okay, and it's a sort of starting point, if you like, to understand the basics of, the Christian ministry. And I think it's in that book that he had 6 classes of unbeliever. Because you could think, well, okay, so I've got that. So I've got basic truth, my testimony, invite them to services. Don't do anything that's going to take away from my Christian. And then I've got people out there. But actually, not all people are quite the same. You've got different classes of unbeliever. And he had 6 classes, but Peter Masters has sort of brought it up, modernised it, if you like. And he's got them into 4 categories. Easier to remember, to be honest. 4 categories. And he says that actually the largest category, by far, is the indifferent, okay, and the ignorant, the careless. So most people, more than 50% of people out there in this category, and with the truth of this is borne out if we do open air work, we'll stop people, we'll ask them if they want a Christian tract. I'm all right, thanks. They're just absolutely careless about it. It's indifferent. They're not hostile. It's not most people, they're not grabbing you by the throat or anything like that. They're just indifferent. We certainly find that in Belper as people... They're not rushing off to run a multinational. They're not going down for an important vote down at the House of Commons. They're going to get some carrots or something. But they're too busy for this spiritual truth, the most important thing in their lives. The second category, and virtually everybody comes into these two categories. So you've got the indifferent and the ignorant. And the second category are the self-righteous. Okay. So many people think they're all right. They pay their taxes. They turn up at lectures. They are respectable type people. They've got some manners. They know which knife and fork to use. They don't swear that much. They pop back and see their mum. They do all of this sort of thing. But I have to tell you, friends, that is not good enough, because the law demands perfection. And people are... So you're going to get these two categories. So bear these in mind. The other two that he talks about are atheists. We'll try and get you talking about, you know, the existence of God and all of this type of thing. And, you know, I commend creation ministries to you. And that third category are the self-interested. Okay. And these are people that might think, well, okay, oh, hang on a second. There might be something in what you're saying to me. And it's because they want something out of it. Okay. So let's say you invite them to church. They might only come along for the food. Right. And so you have to be aware of people's motives in all of these sort of things, that people are often self-interested. So there's a challenge to you all. There's a challenge to us all and to myself, that we need to be good witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Wish you well, Stanley. Right. Our next hymn is number 779.